Hello, this is Dr. C.T. Taylor speaking on one of your Triumph Tape series. And the subject today is going to be fibromyalgia. Now, fibromyalgia is made up of three base words. One, fibro, which refers to fibrous connective tissue, such as is found in the end of muscles and the beginning of tendons. And my, which means muscle, and algia, which means pain. Fibromyalgia, meaning fibrous muscle pain. Now, this is a generalized musculoskeletal discomfort associated with aching, sometimes stiffness, and tenderness of some specific muscle attachment points which have been under tension for some time and therefore produce an inflammation. And of course, where you have inflammation, you'd expect tenderness the same way as you would be quite tender when somebody put their finger on a boil that you may have. Now, the specific muscle attachment points that are used as a standard for diagnosing fibromyalgia involve 18, and someone has come up and said that 11 is the ones that we need, and so if we don't have 11 tender points, then it's not fibromyalgia. I've sometimes puzzled about that myself, wondering why it couldn't be 10 or 12 or so on. But anyway, this is the standard they have used. Now, the other thing that is associated with this is people wake up in the morning with this disease and they feel more tired than when they went to bed at night. They frequently feel depressed, and fatigue is one of their major complaints. Now, some have night jerks in bed, and by that I don't mean the guy that inadvertently got in bed with you, but it means the jerking of legs or arms. Now, there's 7 to 10 million Americans with fibromyalgia in all age groups, but according to Pellegrino in 1989, who studied all over the United States of the various cases, he noticed there was approximately a 50 to 1 female to male ratio. In other words, for every man that got it, you had at least 50 females. Now, almost identical to fibromyalgia is a condition well known as chronic fatigue syndrome. And the only difference is the degree of pain, according to Goldenberg in his studies in 1990. Now, whenever a diagnosis of fibromyalgia is made, there should have been a ruling out first of number one, polymyalgia rheumatica. That's a form of muscle joint problems, and you can always pick that up because if you do blood work, the SED rate is extremely high. Well, the SED rate is simply an indication of foreign protein in the body, and the more there is, why, the higher the SED rate. So the high SED rate, it's polymyalgia rheumatica and not fibromyalgia. The second thing to rule out is a condition called lupus, which is quite serious, often noted because a person has somewhat reddish high cheekbones, so they call it a butterfly rash, and it can be very serious with a form of arthritis and kidney failure and so on. And the third thing to rule out is hypothyroidism, and we will talk about that quite a bit later in the tape. Fibromyalgia is a disorder only fairly recently, approximately half a century or so, recognized, affecting approximately 2% of the U.S. population. Now, it's still frequently considered, unfortunately, as hypochondriac problems in females by some doctors. And that's most unfortunate because it is not a result of hysteria. The cerebral spinal fluid in fibromyalgia cases contains more of a substance called substance P. This is a neuropeptide that acts as a pain transmitter or a transmitter of pain signals. In other words, if the high substance P level is picked up on, this means that the more pain is experienced by the patient. The other factor that's found in fibromyalgia cases is that their growth hormone is low. Now, in speaking of this, it's rather interesting to note that most of your growth hormone is secreted after you've been in bed for about an hour and a half. However, there's one thing that definitely stops the production of this growth hormone, and that is insulin. So that if a person has supper and is followed by a lot of sweets, then what happens is that the body secretes insulin to handle all this sugar. Insulin has a long half-life, so it still is circulating in your bloodstream when you go to bed, and it says no production of growth hormone because it fights the production of growth hormone. So it's very important for fibromyalgia cases to avoid dessert at supper time. Sorry about that. Now, continuing with fibromyalgia, a Samuel Yu, MD, Clinical Medical Director of Health East Pain Clinic in Health East Bethesda Lutheran Hospital and Rehab Center in St. Paul, Minnesota, has done some excellent research on some of the factors associated with fibromyalgia. One of them is called dysautonomia. Now, that's a horrible word, and we don't have to use that anymore. But what it basically refers to is a failure in fibromyalgia patients of the correct autonomic nerve system response. In other words, the autonomic nervous system responds randomly. Now, the autonomic system controls every aspect of our internal organs and their functions. And in fibromyalgia cases, we often see a delayed and exaggerated autonomic nervous system response to the external or internal stimuli that have long passed. In other words, nerve endings and their organs in people with fibromyalgia behave as if they had been denervated or cut. And as a consequence, the organ doesn't respond to any of the stimulation for a while until a higher than normal threshold is reached. So once the threshold is reached, the organ then responds maximally. And you might say, here's an example, that if you were chewing your food, because of the innervation behaving as if the nerve was cut, you wouldn't be getting saliva in when you were chewing. And after you had finished your sandwich and had swallowed it, suddenly the saliva starts to come off. This is what they call the delayed response. And this is that once the threshold was reached, the organ responds maximally. So any further stimulation will cause significantly more response, and the response is exaggerated, and then, of course, the organ gets tired, has to rest, so you have an up and down behavior of that particular organ. So you have a delayed or nothing response. And this is a basic law of canon described in physiology concerning the responses of any organs that have a nerve supply. That since the smooth muscles within the organs of fibromyalgia do not stretch very well, the nerve endings that conduct the signal to the brain or the central nervous system is often delayed. The organs of fibromyalgia patients, therefore, do not secrete their hormones appropriately. And when it's dealing with stress hormones and the patient is under severe stress, these hormones are not released during the stressful period. When the stress may be over and the patient is now relaxed, suddenly the stress hormones start to be released and the patient feels jittery, nervous, and on edge. So any additional physical activity or any mental activity causes the threshold level to be reached and the stress hormones begin to be dumped into the body again, and we call this hyperexcitability. The patient then experiences a rapid heart rate, a sense of urgency, and shortness of breath. And the adrenaline gland begins to circulate. Patient feels hot, cold, or sweaty. These cycles will continue until all the stress hormones are exhausted, from the adrenaline glands and from the central nervous system. Then the cycles will stop so that the body can regenerate all of the stress hormones. This means that these people really require stress hormone help. And one of the basic ones would be the raw adrenal that is put out by a company by the name of Professional Health Products. This is what they call an azeotrophic compound, and it's called that because they have used special solvents to remove all of the fat out of the tissue so that you're not getting the fat-soluble insecticides and herbicide sprays that are found in some of the other products. Well, when we think of this, we can see that things will go up and down in these patients, and this is one of the reasons why they often have difficulty with digestion, and they alternate as a result between an overactive digestion causing diarrhea and an underactive one producing constipation. So these people really run into a lot of problems. In association with this, we discover that they have what's known as the leaky gut syndrome, and that is something that is helped tremendously by the ingestion of specific enzymes, which we'll talk about later. Also associated with the leaky gut syndrome, and this simply means that the poor intestinal tract has a problem in that it's taking in through pores that are slightly too large, products that result in an allergic food reaction. For example, fibromyalgia cases frequently state that they've been eating the same food for years, and now why have I all of a sudden become allergic to this? And the allergy, of course, results from the bowel's inability to digest the food properly and the absorption of foreign undigested protein into the body because of the denervation type behavior of fibromyalgia cases. We sometimes hear a patient say, I'm okay if I eat one egg, but if I have two, I'm in trouble and I'll get stomach cramps. Why is that? And this is all related to this sort of denervation type factor that is found in fibromyalgia cases. It is very important for these people, therefore, to chew their food well. In my day as a youth, we were told you had to chew each mouthful once for every tooth and two for every tooth that was missing. Now, one of the aspects of treating fibromyalgia is that there's a number of factors that are required. There are some major factors that we will come to, but remember that sometimes some people say, with all these major factors, I'm wondering if Voltaire's statement doesn't apply, where he stated that the art of medicine consisted of amusing the patient while nature cured the disease. Now, usually in the fibromyalgia patients, it is the neck, shoulders, and feet are involved, with a discomfort intense enough to interfere at work and their daily tasks. Now, the diagnosis involves what we've already noted with our 18 tender points to palpation, which you've had for over 3 months, and that's the tenderness, not the palpation. And finally, it is found that in patients with fibromyalgia, they almost invariably improve tremendously if they become pregnant. Well, with this in mind, a very good treatment should come to mind to some people. The symptoms of FM, or fibromyalgia, are made worse by, number one, overexertion. Number two, lack of exercise. Number three, lack of sleep. Number four, trauma. Number five, temperature extremes. And number six is infections. You know, in today's society, they groan when two of these are noted to be associated with exercise, which is said to be a rather bad word among an awful lot of people these days. Now, there are no real reasons for fibromyalgia to develop according to some in the medical field. However, the research indicates that there is two known reasons. and by Collins and Lehman. The first and major one is a viral infection. And this viral infection is actually influenza A, which is an RNA virus with a core of helical nucleic acid and a soluble nucleoprotein antigen. And the only significance about this is that antigens stimulate the formation of antibodies, and we don't want those because they do some real factors. These antibodies abide on the surface of the virus. And for those of you who are technically minded, the viruses are numbered as HON1, H1N2, H2N2, and H3N2, according to the various epidemics that these particular viruses have caused in the world. But influenza A is the single most frequent cause of influenza. It's felt to be spread through droplet infections such as sneezing and kissing. However, recent British research involved the nasal and throat secretions of patients put in the nose and eyes and mouth of volunteers, and it did not result in a transfer of the flu. But they attempted then another thing, and I wish I had been part and parcel of this one, because this involved first pecs, on kissing pecs, and then nice long Hollywood-type kissing. That would have been a very intriguing experience. But guess what they discovered? There was, even though that more enjoyable aspect of the experiment was done, it didn't spread the flu from one patient to another. When the viral-containing secretions, however, were rubbed on the inner corner of the eye, such as a person with their hands, coughed into their hands, and then rubbed, they noticed that the virus was transmitted, and it's transmitted through the puncta, or the inner part of the eye, where it drains tears into the back of the throat. So the lesson we learn, therefore, is the importance of frequent washing of hands in family members when the flu is present. Now, the second cause in the disorder of fibromyalgia is a deficiency of a hormone long neglected. And this hormone is called relaxin. Now, VUE, was a person that did quite a little bit of research on that. Now, relaxin is similar to insulin in composition. In women, it is secreted in the ovaries, the uterus, and the breasts. In men, in the seminal tubules and the testes. The hormone is highest during pregnancy, of course that's in women, and decreases during menopause. It peaks particularly when an individual is pregnant. I used to say when a woman is pregnant, but that's a bit on the redundant side. But the hormone will increase by 10 times during pregnancy. And it progressively diminishes during menopause. Okay? Now, one of the major things is that women who are perimenopausal, meaning they're just about to become, or they're sort of sputtering, as the medical people sometimes say, in terms of their periods, or they have had a long period of menopausal problems, or they've had a hysterectomy, or an oophorectomy, meaning that their ovaries have been removed, a tubal ligation even, or an extended use of birth control pills, we discover that all of these women are highly susceptible to premature or early aging, and that's not good by itself, and fibromyalgia. Why? Because the source of relaxin has been critically diminished. Recall also that fibromyalgia improves during pregnancy, when presumably you've got all your parts. Now, female FM patients frequently report relief during pregnancy, but increased symptoms before and during the menstruation and around the menopause time, since the ovaries are a primary source of this hormone called relaxin. people that have had their ovaries removed or a complete hysterectomy or had their tubes tied or been on the long term of birth control pills have diminished their relaxin level, and it's found that a significant number of receptor sites for relaxin are present both in their striated muscle and in their connective tissue. When relaxin levels are low, the muscle tendon attachments remain tense, and these are the spots that remain tender to pressure. The chronic tension at these points results in inflammation and the resultant tenderness. Remember our boils we mentioned earlier on. In the early 1930s, doctors found that relaxin made the delivery of babies a lot easier because it helped to relax the pubic ligament, and the baby then could come through a channel where the opening could get just a little larger. And elevating the relaxin hormone resulted in a decrease of tenderness elsewhere by relaxing the tendon attachments as well. Now, men require relaxin too, but their levels are found much lower. And taking the hormone is not very effective in the treatment of males who have fibromyalgia, but they still require it for connective tissue, and, get this, both men and females require that for a slowing down of the rate at which we age. Now, the onset of fibromyalgia may be gradual over a period of weeks or quite rapid, and depression or anxiety are frequently observed, and this is because fibromyalgia patients have a reduction of serotonin levels in the brain. Why? Well, one of the reasons is a diet of too much protein. Protein will lower serotonin levels, and as a result, people can be easier depressed. Because anti-influenza A antibodies react to result in anti-serotonin antibodies, resulting in the decrease of serotonin production. Now, that sounds like a lot of words, but this is why these people will feel depressed, is because there's antibodies to the influenza A they had, and they react to decrease the amount of serotonin resulting, okay? And this is work done by Klein et al. And Stratz et al. And so on. The most prevalent symptom is spasm or knots in your trapezius muscle. That's just near your scapula at the back. Now let's get into some treatment. Very intriguing. The trapezius and supraspinatus muscle pain, that is the muscle just over the top part of the shoulder blade, tend to be very tender in some people, so the doctor comes up and even through a sweater, hundreds of times I've been able to feel those knots. What this responds to very well is sublingual vitamin B12 at 1,000 micrograms a day, usually for 5 out of every 7 days, unless you notice that the pain has come back within 24 hours, in which case you can do it for 6 out of 7 days or maintain it every day if that's necessary. This is an under the tongue drop now that you can get at a health food store under the name of Thorn. And the stuff has a purple bottle with an eyedropper, and you must shake it like mad because it likes to settle in the bottom. And the average adult requires approximately 3 to 4 drops a day under his tongue, and that's all. And you take them once in that day. Now, when the spasm and inflammation persists, then one of the factors that happens is that you produce lactic acid. And lactic acid was the old things that were used to note in your legs when you were running, and you say, oh, I've got a terrible Charlie horse, and it would stay tender for a long time after the day after you'd done an awful lot of running. Well, vitamin B1 is essential for the oxidation and the later removal of lactic acid. So for this reason, stressed bees are really excellent for an individual or a bee complex. And usually you can take two at each meal. They work really well for this discomfort. And you should be aware of the fact, however, that if you take, because two is good, I had one patient that thought 18 would be better, and he was wondering why he was waking up at 2:30 in the morning and he felt like mowing the lawn for everybody in the block in the middle of the night. Now, chronic inflammation, which is one of the characteristics of this disease, is a result of increased prostaglandin E2. At least that's one of the factors that increases it. Now, prostaglandin E2, which is one of the factors associated with chronic inflammation, has a number of precursors. So we want to stop taking these precursors. The first and most significant one is hot fats, such as you find in anything fried or on potato chips or French fries, all of that good tasting stuff. The second one is dairy products, such as cheese, milk, ice cream. The third one is red meat, and boy, does that ever hit the men. It usually, fortunately, there's, as we mentioned, 50 women to one man, so we're not going to hear too many complaints. And then organ meats is a precursor, so you want to avoid those. That's liver and kidney. And then crustaceans, that's like your shrimp and the lobsters and crabs and oysters and so on, scallops. And then finally, the other one is having too low a prostaglandin E1. And where do you get prostaglandin E1? You stop the others, but you have to take prostaglandin E1. Well, therefore, you look for something that contains prostaglandin E1, and it's the so-called one of the essential fatty acid omega-6 line, which you get out of primrose seed oil. Now, primrose seed oil, there are some people that are just selling you straight ordinary oil and calling it primrose because they can charge more, and you unfortunately get it. Don't think that just because it's from a health food store that it's the real thing or that you have what it says on the label. We just finished doing a little study in Edmonton here. Of 24 companies selling echinacea, and so far we found only two out of these 24 companies that had the real echinacea in it at all. So that's just one example, and that's another talk. Now, our fibromyalgia cases also lack epinephrine, and 250 milligrams of vitamin B1 taken twice a day boosts epinephrine. Now, adrenaline supplements, such as the azeotrophic we mentioned, that word simply means that they've taken out all the fat content of that particular gland and the associated fat-soluble things. And these people really feel better if they get on some raw adrenal from professional health products, that's azeotrophic, and they take two tablets a day. Do not take more than two a day or your blood pressure can go up, and we do not want to have your blood pressure go up. Some people really are helped tremendously by this material, and in fact, many have phoned back and saying, can I continue on it? Well, you must remember that since you're giving the adrenaline gland a rest, you do not want to continue it indefinitely. So what we usually say is it's good for 5 out of 7 days, and you can take it until you're feeling better and then get off of it. Now, the second dose should be taken before supper, not after, to avoid insomnia, because you don't want to stay awake as a result of taking your second tablet. The typical American diet is often magnesium deficient, and as you recall, the patients with FM or fibromyalgia are low in magnesium. Of course, if you're French, then you may not be low in magnesium, because magnesium is rather high in snails, which I do not recommend people eat these days. Now, anyone deficient in total body magnesium is tense and jumpy. Do you remember seeing some teenage girls that would, you would say something to them and they'd suddenly just, their claws would come out like a cat, and they'd almost do everything but hiss like a cat does, and you would wonder, my goodness, talk about
tenderness or sudden being so sensitive. Well, magnesium deficiency will produce that kind of irritability in our teenage girls, and particularly, and you'll very often put them on CalMag and you'll just see them relax. It's a real blessing to a lot of parents when they see that happens. Now, magnesium 3 times a day minimum, such as, and it should be taken with calcium. We shouldn't be taking either magnesium by itself or calcium by itself. But so CalMag, 3 a day, 4 a day if there's any tendency toward constipation at all. And the magnesium will reduce muscle hypersensitivity as well as some toxicity to those nerves that act as if they've been cut. Okay? Herbal muscle relaxants such as kava kava or chamomile tea not only relax, but they tend to prevent abnormal muscle protein accumulation as well. And you remember that we don't want that in us, but it prevents abnormal muscle protein accumulating in our system. Then we are far more healthy because we're not designed to carry abnormal muscle protein. This was work done by Severo and his group. Now for depression, St. John's wort, and that word wort means plant. It's an old English word. About 300 milligrams twice a day works very well. However, you must be aware of the fact that people on St. John's wort should not be exposed to too much sunshine. And secondly, that it can stimulate the immune system to such an extent that it can exhaust the immune system if you continue to take it for a long period of time. I usually tell my patients that you're perfectly safe, everyone is, and they can take it for 2 weeks on at a time and 1 week off. A lot of people have found that it's quite satisfactory to go 3 weeks on and then 1 week off as well. Incidentally, if you're ever coming down with a flu, one of the first things that you should take is St. John's wort, because it is a very strong viral fighter and it works particularly within the first 24 hours to 36 hours of having the flu. Now, one of the St. John's wort at bedtime will often be advantageous for the insomnia that these patients experience. So you've done two things. You've solved some depression and you've helped your sleep as well. To boost the sagging serotonin levels, you would use Griffonia seed extract at 50 milligrams BID or TID, and that's medical terminology for 50 milligrams twice a day, B for bicycle as it were, and or TID for tricycle being 3 times a day is given. However, some patients will have very vivid dreams with Griffonia and may have to forego the evening dose or take it earlier in the afternoon just so those dreams won't be so vivid. Your source of Boswellan is Nutrition Plus Pharmacy on the south side of Edmonton with a phone number of 780-439-5920. Now, remember that inflammation in the muscle? This is partly a result of a product called xanthine oxidase formation. And this formation is blocked by water-soluble quercetin, about 1 cap TID or 3 times a day. Now, the interesting thing is, for those of you who could not find quercetin, then remember that it is in apple skins particularly, but they should be washed with LOC, that's a liquid organic cleaner coconut oil base, because the apples in Canada, particularly Western Canada, are coated, believe it or not, with Johnson's floor wax. And when you put a half a teaspoon of this LOC into the basin of water to clean your apples, the volatile part of the wax will be dissolved off. Now it leaves what looks like white candle wax on the skin, and you need a scrub bud to take that off and then to clean it again. And once you've done that, when you rinsed it and you now eat the skin of the apple, you will be getting quercetin. Now, glutathione at a dose of 150 milligrams twice a day tend to prevent the headaches commonly noted by FM patients. And they'll often get headaches because of the muscle spasm and at the back of the neck, and it gives them a generalized headache at the back of the neck, which is not very nice. And this substance, namely glutathione, also reduces antigen byproducts and is therefore very significant. It's one of the things that actually permits the interior cells to have being bathed in antioxidants. Recall that influenza A antibodies resulted in what? In serotonin antibodies, which resulted in depression because the antibodies stopped the serotonin from working. Well, our patients frequently exhibit central nervous system effects of mental fatigue and anxiety. Here, ginkgo biloba at 250 milligrams twice a day is found to be quite effective. To ensure energy, we've got to get these people into what they call the Krebs or the energy cycle. And for this, you need magnesium, that's your CalMag, which we've already talked about. You need B complex, and usually for people that are low in energy, we say two with each meal. And then the active form of vitamin B6, because a lot of people cannot convert the standard form of B6, which is pyridoxal hydrochloride, into the active form, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. So you need the active form, and that's a thorn product, THORNE, and you can take, the average adult can take three of those a day. If you take too many of the B6, you'll start to get very vivid dreams. People that are really low in B6 can't remember their dreams, and they certainly, if they have them, they can't tell you whether they're in technicolor or not. But if you have an adequate B6, you can tell whether you have colors in your dreams. You'll remember them. So you don't go any higher than 250 milligrams a day. Now, in addition to get energy, your amino acids, and you remember amino acids, they are to proteins like letters are to words. Proteins are made up of amino acids, the same as words are made up by letters. Your carbohydrates and your fats or lipids must be acetylated prior to getting into the energy cycle. So if you don't have acetylation, you're not going to get into the into that nice little cycle that gives you energy in the first place in the form of what we call adenosine triphosphate. There's also a less significant one, guanosine triphosphate. But in order to get into that cycle, you must be acetylated. Two things will do this: unpasteurized apple cider vinegar and oat bran are effective in doing the acetylation. Now, coenzyme Q10 also boosts energy because it works on cell membranes so that you can pass through the nutrition that you need into the cells. A Dr. R. Jaffe of Virginia put his fibromyalgia patients on what he called an elimination diet for 6 months. What were the results? Well, in testing them, he found that there was a 50% decrease in pain, 30% decrease in stiffness, 50% increase in energy, and a 40% decrease in depression. One type of elimination diet would be as follows, in which case you would take 4 days in which protein, grains, fruits, and vegetables varied in each day. Example, let's say day two menu made you feel worse. Then the next time day two came around, you would eliminate the protein for that day and see whether that worked. If day two stayed a problem, then eliminate the grain next, and so on. Another test for food sensitivity is the so-called pulse test. And this is done quite simply. You check your pulse while sitting and about 15 minutes after eating a particular food. A pulse increase of 15 plus or more is a positive test, and you have some kind of reaction going on to one to the food that you have just eaten. One of the important things is, remember, was moderate exercise, and this is found to be beneficial in FM patients, especially if it's approximately 1 hour a day. And one of the good exercises is this plain old-fashioned walking. A lot of people don't like to do that nowadays. I remember I had a relative who, if he wanted to pick up a package of cigarettes, jumped into the garage, which was attached to the house, drove out in his car, went half a block, picked up his package, and then came back. Talk about not being healthy. Another treatment that is used is an interesting one in China, where they use, for fibromyalgia, they use cinnamon powder, ginger powder, and astragalus, and those three. Now, Candida is common in the fibromyalgia cases, and here Candida can be handled usually quite well by taking garlic, and I like the garlic licorice combination from Quickstar, iodine, which you get from taking kelp tablets, acidophilus, and as long as you decrease your sugar intake. People with Candida, which is a yeast infection, must decrease their sugar intake. It is amazing where sugar is in our foods nowadays. Even ketchup, and I think this is why a lot of kids like it, is close to 30% sugar. And the fat that they use in some of the fancy fast restaurants now, they have sugar put right in the fat so that it's almost impossible, if you take that stuff out of the barrel before it's put in the frying pan, to tell that it is fat because it is that sweet. Vitamin A will decrease the morbidity or illness, and it converts protein eaten into tissue. Okay? So it converts the protein you eat into active tissue in your body. For antiviral treatment, garlic and licorice have the longest history of usage, and with these two, you're very safe in continuing them. Now, when I mention licorice, that's not the candy, that is the root, and you can make tea from it. Now, to provide the relaxin hormone, and this is one of the major factors that has been responsible for my success in treating fibromyalgia so effectively. And that is the hormone called Vitalaxin. That's the company name for it, but it is the hormone Relaxin. And you can get hold of that in Canada at 780-439-5920. That's Nutrition Plus Pharmacy. Or in the States at 612-946-1550. Now, there have been some studies indicating the antiviral nature of colloidal silver. And I'm a little leery of this one unless they're used of very high quality to prevent other heavy metal toxicity. And because of it is cumulative, do not prolong its use. Silver has a habit after many, many months, it has to be quite a few, but it is carcinogenic. Carcinogenic, I should say. It almost sounded like it was full of energy. But it is really good for the handling of the virus, influenza virus A. Okay? The one I like there is Nature's Sunshine. They use the highest quality of silver, and which has to come from Canada, because we're the only people in the world, I think, that produce it to 99.999% pure silver. Now, try to avoid the loss of your relaxin by keeping your uterus and ovaries. There's another talk we will do one day on menopause and so on, and we will tell you how so many people are losing uterus and ovaries. Now, the clinical features of fibromyalgia are extremely similar to the clinical features of hypothyroidism. This is another ace in the hole.
Now, I've just made a statement that I find that a lot of my colleagues don't believe, and yet you find it by Golding in the Annals of Rheumatoid Disease Journal, Bland and Freimoyer in the New England Journal of Medicine, Wilkie and his group in the Journal of Rheumatology, and Delamere and his group in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine, etc., etc. In other words, the most common symptoms of fibromyalgia are also the common symptoms of hypothyroidism. The symptoms of hypothyroidism are due to failure of cell function caused by a decrease of the thyroid hormone or by resistance to it. So you may either be low in the hormone or your body may be simply resistant to it. So we'll cover two reasons for thyroid hormone inactivity. The first, and I'm going to speak slower here because this is getting just a little deep for some. The first includes primary and secondary hypothyroidism. Now, primary hypothyroidism is frequently diagnosed both on a clinical basis and through the use of blood tests. Tunbridge and his group in clinical endocrinology estimates an incidence of this disease in the United States of 5%. Now, that's interesting, but when fibromyalgia patients are examined, the incidence of hypothyroidism is higher in them than the public in general. As a matter of fact, the fibromyalgia patient has at least 2.5 times the frequency of hypothyroidism than the general public. Now, that's a tremendous increase. That means it's more than doubled. Now, another thyroid deficiency type, which we just finished mentioning, is the central hypothyroidism, and this involves low hypothalamus and or low pituitary function. And these are the glands that are telling the thyroid what to do. And if they're low, then the thyroid, if their function is low, then the thyroid function is low because the thyroid is not getting good instructions from them. That he says, turn on your thyroid. And of course the thyroid gland says, well boy, that's not a very strict and exciting order, so it doesn't do too much. So it was Hirschman in the excerpts of Medica in Amsterdam quotes an incidence in the United States of, get this, of only 0.001% of this central type. But others are reporting very high incidence of central hypothyroidism in fibromyalgia patients. Low, for example, found in 92 sequential, that means in order, unselected fibromyalgia patients, that 40 of them, which was 43.5%, had lab results consistent with this type of hypothyroidism. And this is reported also by Lowe, as we mentioned, in the Clinical Bulletin of Myofascial Therapy. And it's really interesting that instead of being way down in the 21 ten thousandths, that suddenly it's 43.5% when he selects 92 patients and really goes over them well. Now, Ferraccioli, and I really don't know whether I've pronounced that Latin name quite right, and others have also found a higher incidence of central hypothyroidism in people with fibromyalgia. In other words, our previous incidence, it's over 200,000 times higher than initially reported. So that is interesting, and that's been confirmed just recently. In some people, the low thyroid regulation of cell function is due to the presence of anti-thyroid antibodies. You got an antibody sitting on a cell, it's not going to let you send things into that cell. Here, the fibromyalgia patients are found with a higher incidence of antibodies and therefore less thyroid hormone activity because it's tying up the thyroid with antibodies. If these anti-thyroid antibodies are sitting on the thyroid hormone in any way, then that thyroid hormone cannot function and occupy its correct receptor sites. Here, fibromyalgia patients are found with a higher incidence of these antibodies, and therefore less thyroid hormone activity is in their systems than others. Now, as a matter of fact, Neek and Riddell in the Journal of Rheumatology noticed that these antibodies were twice as high in women than in men. And we recall that most fibromyalgia patients are females. Interestingly, lab thyroid function test results do not tend to differ between the two groups. And this is when you go and you get a thyroid test and blood work, and your doctor tells you, no, your thyroid's okay. Well, you're reading thyroid that's in your bloodstream, but what we're interested in is how that thyroid is functioning in your cells and what's going on with that. So in other words, you can have a normal reading from the lab, and the doctor tells you that you have no problems, you're not low thyroid, and here we've discovered that the research shows you do have low thyroid function in your cells, and it works well. Now, it's interesting that astute observers in the late 1980s wondered why the fibromyalgia patients with normal thyroid blood tests that we've just talked about had the same hypothyroid-like symptoms and signs as FM patients with hypothyroid lab tests. Now, this means that it didn't matter about the patient. They normal then said, well, look at, they've got the same hypothyroid-like symptoms and signs as a thyroid patient, which means they get tired very rapidly trying to use a vacuum on a rug. They get cold too easy. They find that the hair in their armpits is getting coarse, and they find it's really hard to take any weight off, and so on. Well, one of these researchers, Usala, has found a gene related to thyroid hormone resistance. You'll find that in the Journal of Molecular Endocrinology. He was the first to discover a mutation in the gene, but now, according to Lowe, there's more than 100 of these have been discovered. So much for this fibromyalgia being all in your head. So we therefore have a class of thyroid diseases that we've talked to you about. And we discover that the class is rather interesting. Hypothyroid patients, primary type of hypothyroidism, 10%. Central hypothyroidism, 45%. Resistant hypothyroidism been found to be 34%. This now means that we have 89% of hypothyroid patients in fibromyalgia cases, when before it was thought that this did not give the true picture, but has now been confirmed. It's interesting to note that researchers are observing symptoms and signs in the remaining 11% of FM cases that also resemble hypothyroidism. Now, here is the big key. When treated with desiccated thyroid, and I might tell you right here that the synthetic type such as Synthroid is almost always ineffective, where for some reason or other the desiccated taken straight from the gland is in fact highly effective. Now, it's interesting here that the specialist will tell my patients, you must get back on Synthroid, desiccated thyroid, it's a inappropriate way of taking it, no one has regulated the dosage of it, and so on, we don't know how strong it is, and the Synthroid or the synthetic stuff, we know exactly what it is. Well, the interesting thing is that in all of my patients that I've taken off of Synthroid and put on desiccated, there isn't one of them that you could ever get back to the Synthroid again, because they feel so much better on the desiccated. Now, one of the things they mustn't do is leave their desiccated thyroid in a black purse in the sunshine, or keep it in a blouse next to their body, or allow it to be sitting in the sunshine, because that will denature that particular kind of desiccated thyroid. And on this, we can tell you how it is you should check your thyroid. And this will tell you whether you really need it as well. And because a lot of people have normal blood tests, but they are low in the active form of thyroid as far as the cells are concerned. You take a mercury thermometer, because the digital one shut off in 5 minutes. And you, if you are having periods, you can only do this the first 2 days of your period. And if you're in a menopause, you can do it any time. A man can do it any 2 days in a row. But a woman can only do it for significance in the first 2 days of her period. And she wakes up and you shake it down at night. We don't want you shaking things in the morning, excepting your mind. And you put this thermometer under your armpit and you keep it there for 10 minutes by the clock, and then read it. I like to read it in Fahrenheit degrees because I'm not metrified yet, and because they're a little closer and give us a little better significance. And you do that 2 mornings in a row, average them, and you should be 97 degrees Fahrenheit. If you are lower, you are one of those people that needs desiccated thyroid. Now, even in our fibromyalgia patients with normal thyroid lab results, if you put them on this desiccated thyroid, 75% approximately will markedly, not just a bit, but markedly improve or completely recover on this thyroid. Those with thyroid resistance, however, require higher doses than the primary and central thyroid patients, and therefore have to be or should be medically monitored, because you can run people into trouble if you give them too much thyroid. Now, what do I mean by too much? Well, the average would be something in the order of more than 4 desiccated tablets a day. They're usually about 30 milligrams each, and you'd have to get them by prescription. And I don't know just how much fortune you will have, because most doctors are absolutely resistant to the desiccated thyroid, and unfortunately that's the only type that really works well in this program. Now, this program that we've just outlined will show results in about 12 to 14 days, which is incredible, and it will continue thereafter. It's interesting to note here that further exposure to type A influenza, however, can result in a fairly major disease reappearance. In other words, you think, boy, I was doing so fine, and then suddenly I got the flu, and bingo, you will notice that your fibromyalgia can come back. So finally, desiccated thyroid is a major part of the treatment of fibromyalgia. But you may have some problem, as I said before, finding someone who will prescribe this type of treatment when the lab tests are in the, quote, normal range. In this regard, I will never forget a middle 40s lady who could have been blown away by a moderate breeze, who had been on the Synthroid for over 17 years, when the speaker put her on desiccated thyroid in place of her Synthroid. This woman became a brand new lady, and I have many patients like this. But the thing that was significant here was that her endocrinologist was a very large, big man. And finally, in sheer frustration, this woman said to the endocrinologist, "Look it, I have lived in this body for 45 years and you haven't lived in it for 45 seconds. I have been on the Synthroid, or the synthetic product, and I felt like death warmed over for over 17 years. Suddenly," she said, "in a matter of a few days, became alive like the woman I was supposed to be. My husband and my son have said they've got a new wife and a new mother, and there is no way anybody can ever get me back. Well, they had quite a Donnybrook, but this woman, very interesting soul, has turned out extremely well on the desiccated thyroid, and I could fill the rest of the tape with all sorts of illustrations that were similar. Now, we'll summarize this treatment and even throw in a couple of extras as we go along. And the first is that you need vitamin B12, which is, can be obtained sublingually, and actually is not obtained that way, but that's the way you take it. And when the spasm and inflammation persists, remember that vitamin B1 is essential, so you do need your B complex or your stress Bs. For chronic inflammation, you avoid your hot fats, fried anything. You can send your frying pans to Dr. Taylor. Dairy products, red meat, organ meats, and the crustaceans such as your crab and lobster and shrimp and so on. And you will need some prostaglandin E1, which you get from milk thistle or the so-called omega-6. The easy way of getting essential fatty acids is in products like Go Mega or by Quickstar, or Gold Top Flaxseed Oil is also a good one. Now, because the FM case frequently lacks his adrenal, or the B1 again works here well, and so do the azeotrophic supplements that we discovered at a maximum of 2 a day for raw adrenal. Now, the second dose, remember, taken before supper to avoid insomnia. Now, most people are deficient in magnesium, and so CalMag is often a wonderful thing to take at from 3 to 4 per day, 4 if you have any tendency whatsoever toward constipation. It reduces the muscle hypersensitivity as well as some nerve toxicity. Now, herbal muscle relaxants such as kava-kava or chamomile are good because they not only are advantageous for relaxing, but they tend to prevent abnormal muscle protein accumulation as well. St. John's wort, I'm going to get that correctly one of these days, works very beautifully at 300 milligrams twice a day for any depression that the person may have. Now, going back, however, for a minute to magnesium, it's rather interesting to know that to get energy, we need phosphates to get adenosine triphosphate, which is the real big energy source from our food. And in order to get these phosphates, we have to have them available. Aluminum blocks the absorption of phosphates. And that is a rather bad thing because if you're not absorbing them and getting them in around, you're not going to have energy. So one of the factors that we say is do not drink fluoridated water because it's aluminum, sodium aluminum fluoride. It's an anti-enzyme, the strongest thing other than acid or fire we know, and that's another talk. And fluoride is not good for us, so you do not use fluoridated toothpaste and you avoid fluoridated water. One of the excellent waters, I had a big treatment group in this province test for a particular type of everything in the, I like that way of describing it, in drinking water, and I got some from Vail Mount directly out of the mountain. There's a company called Monashee, which have a phone number of 780-452-8444. And the company phoned me back long distance, said that of all of the water they treated for over a third of a century, they'd never found a higher quality water. And so that's the one we really like there quite well. Now, that eliminates the sodium aluminum fluoride for the aluminum, which blocks the absorption of our phosphates for energy. And if you take magnesium with malic acid, which is fairly high in apples, it will decrease the aluminum by increasing
its excretion out of the body. This is work done by Abraham in 1992, and a lot of us didn't know he lived that long. And the malic acid should be taken at 1200 to 2400 milligrams per day. Manganese is found to be good also in the treatment of this particular ailment. Remember to take your St. John's wort, again, about 300 milligrams twice a day, and often an advantage to help you relax and often solves the insomnia. Boost your sagging serotonin levels. We gave you the phone number for Griffonia seed extract, which you only take at 50 milligrams twice or three times a day maximum. And if you have very vivid dreams, too vivid, just cut the dose down. Don't cut it right out, but go off of it for a couple of days and then cut the dose down and it should be quite fine. Inflammation in the muscle is partly a result of xanthine oxidase formation, and this formation is blocked by water-soluble quercetin, which is found in apple skin. Also helping in fighting inflammation is cat's claw combination, which is a product of Nature's Sunshine, and it works really well. In this regard, we should also mention that inflammation is helped by cumin, that spice that makes yellow curry. In addition, since people are having digestion problems in this, they often are low in the normal bacterial flora. And if these patients are that way, and many of them are, then it has been found that Acidophilus works really well here. Remember, we mentioned glutathione at doses of 150 milligrams twice a day, tend to prevent the headaches commonly noted by FM patients. And it's interesting that nice neck massage, but don't massage too hard. It can also relieve headaches, but if you press too hard, the muscles back near your neck and so on are rather thin, and if you bruise them with your thumbs against the bone, you make the situation worse. Now, the next thing is to correct some of the nervous system effects of mental fatigue and the anxiety that goes along with that. And ginkgo biloba at 250 milligrams is twice a day has been found quite effective in this. And to ensure energy entrance into the Krebs or energy cycle again, you need your CalMag, you need your stress Bs or B complex, you need your pyridoxal 5-phosphate, that's the active form of B6, not the pyridoxal hydrochloride, and the latter at a maximum of 250 milligrams a day, but never in the absence of taking the B complex, because all of those are synergistic, meaning they work together. Now, in addition, to get into the energy cycle, you need that apple cider vinegar, unpasteurized, and oat bran, and coenzyme Q10 also for boosting energy, which happens to work on cell membranes so that you can get good nutrition in and waste products out. Avoid sugar. Sugar paralyzes your white blood cells for up to 5 hours. I don't know whether it's necessary for you to try the elimination diets too severely, but they did work, and we mentioned to you Dr. Jaffe of Virginia with his elimination diet for 6 months, and he had 50% decrease in pain, 30% decrease in stiffness, 50% increase in energy, and 40% decrease in depression. I can tell you that if you go on the Relaxin and follow the instructions you get from the pharmacist at Nutrition Plus Pharmacy, plus the desiccated thyroid, that you won't have to wait 6 months to have great relief from your fibromyalgia. We covered the elimination diet, which basically is stating vary your food intake, vary it well. And that means vary your meat, beef or lamb, and then maybe chicken, and then beans, peas, and lentils, and then maybe fish. So that's 4 days variation in the foods. Vary your grains, wheat one day, corn the next, maybe brown rice the next, and get off of the white flowers, and all of those types of things. Cinnamon will not hurt, neither will ginger tea. And for candida, of course, the iodine, such as you get in kelp tablets, the garlic licorice, acidophilus, and again, low sugar. You should not be eating raisins or grapes because the sugar is different in those than in other fruits. You can use dates as a substitute, and you should be diluting your fruit juices 50-50 with water, and should be eating them four times as many raw vegetables as raw fruit, also to cut the sugar load down. For antiviral activity, the garlic and licorice work well to decrease the sickness or illness feeling and convert protein into normal tissue. You use A+ zinc because it's synergistic. Get your relaxin. We gave you the phone numbers for that. It was in Alberta, 780-439-5920. And in the United States, 612-946-1550, and they call it Vitalaxin in the States, and it's relaxin hormone. It works really well. Well, colloidal silver will help you if you have a bad virus. You tend to have had it for a long time, but you must remember, because it's accumulative, you do not prolong its use past, say, 3 weeks. Try to avoid the loss of your relaxin by keeping your uterus and ovaries. And the ace in the hole, of course, was the desiccated thyroid. Now, we have covered a lot of things for you, and we have summarized them so that you can turn to the end of the tape and get the data, and you will find that it works very, very well.